Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
It's that time of the night where we gather together a bit of a panel of experts where you can take your problems to, or basically provide a forum where you can find out what other people around Australia think about your situation, just kind of like a bit of a brains trust. Get a whole bunch of new ideas to just at least think through. You can sift through them, you can throw half them away, but at least it gives you some other ideas, some other perspectives as to what you're going through and as to what you can. Tonight's is a bit of a tricky family situation, kind of similar to last week, although it's got a new twist to it. And so Deb Sorensen, family therapist from Focus on the Family, is our expert on duty tonight. Hi, Deb.
Hi, how are you going?
I'm doing very well. Did you hear much of our conversation with Bruce Filer about the Council of Dads?
No, I didn't.
That's
I'm
all right.
Sorry.
We'll forgive you this one time.
I'm with our dads.
This
You're
one
so
time.
Yeah.
Beautiful idea, gathering around a group of men to have an input into your children's life as well as you. So, beautiful story. Anyway, I think you'd like it, Deb. We'll make sure you get a copy of the MP3.
Oh, please.
I bet you do. All right, well, we'll put you back on hold and we'll get into what is a bit of a tricky situation for Carmel. If you've already got your thoughts ready for Carmel after what I've already told you, 1-300-40-2020, start calling them through now and give Carmel your advice. So here's the story. Carmel's a mum. Her son is in his 20s, addicted to computer games. Let's call the son Dan. Ever since he finished high school, and that's a few years ago now given the fact that he's 20, he's been stuck in a pretty bad cycle. He sleeps all day, plays the games all night, and does little else with his life. He's unemployed, and while he tells his mum that he is looking for work, it seems that he's really only kind of making a token effort about that, if he's making any effort at all. His addiction is mainly to these online multiplayer games like World of Warcraft, and he'll spend endless hours on them every night, and if he's not playing the game, then he's in chat rooms learning how to improve his gaming skills. Now, the only real connection he has with the outside world is to go clubbing once a week with his old schoolmates. So he's very isolated, apart from that one time out, and he's completely kind of absorbed in this world of online games. Part of Dan's problem is the fact that he doesn't really know what he should do with his life. He's got no motivation to change. He's also a bit depressed, and this needs to be kept in mind as well with the conversation that we have. At one point, Carmel got him to do a questionnaire on the Beyond Blue website, and it was clear to both him and to her that he was suffering from some sort of mild depression. Now, Carmel just doesn't know what to do. She's stopped cooking for him at times when he's neglected to do chores around the house, but that's never really made a difference to his lifestyle or his computer habits. The computer that Dan uses is his own, so Carmel doesn't feel that she can take it away from him. The only thing that she does have control over is the internet connection, but she has cut it off in the past, and Dan's become very angry and violent, even punching holes in the wall. So she knows that if she does that again, she'll literally have to take time off to cope with the situation and the repercussions of it. Carmel wonders whether she should pack his bags and put him out on the front doorstep, but she just can't bring herself to do that either. So what does she do? 1-300-40-2020 is my number. Tell me what you think Carmel should do. 1-300-40-2020. Now, a few different, arenas of wisdom we can draw on here. You might be a parent who's gone through something like this with your child. What did you do? Tell me what worked. And tell me what didn't work. That's another kind of aspect of wisdom too, isn't it? What didn't work? Did you find a physical way to deal with a computer addiction? Did you remove privileges? Did you take the computer away or the internet away or what? What did you do? Or did you find there were deeper issues that you had to address first before there could be any outward change? 1-300-40-2020, my number. I'd like to know if you have ever personally found yourself caught in some sort of level of addiction to computer games or the internet. Have you been here? Have you been where Dan is now? And if so, how did you get to that stage and how did you get out, if you indeed you actually are out? Also, if you're somebody who's just caught up in some kind of, you know, addictive cycle in the past, you know, maybe in your own 20s at some stage, or if you've been through that recently and you were at that time unable to move forward, but you have been able to, how did you do it? Love to know. All right, first caller is Ashley. Hi, Ashley.
Hello.
Now, it's a bit of a challenge for Carmel. What do you think? Have you had any experience here?
Well, I was part of a research group at university, and we looked at online gaming, and World of Warcraft was actually one of the games that we looked at, and we studied the people that we studied the psychology of the people that were involved in those games, and we found that people that spend a lot of time playing the games have very, very poor self-esteem, and so that would probably go hand in hand with the suspicion that her son has depression, and for Carmel and her son, like we also found that it was really important to not sort of put a label and sort of like a stigma across the, people with depression. And, and from a Christian perspective, like, you know, a lot of people probably think like, oh, you have Jesus in your life, like you shouldn't be depressed. But like, you know, for some people it is a chemical imbalance, and, you know, no one sort of puts like a label across diabetic people and says that, you know, like, oh, like, well, wow, they're diabetic, you know, they need insulin. But for some people, like, they actually do just need some antidepressants to sort of pull them through that really hard stage where their brain's not sending the right chemicals.
That's really interesting. Now, what was the link between the low self-esteem and that particular game, World of Warcraft? Did you find that link? Why was it that the folks that weren't feeling too good about themselves were particularly gravitating to that particular program?
It's because you build up a character and you build up an identity that's in this false world. And if they can actually succeed in the game and they build up points and they build up through the levels of the game, and then they feel better about themselves in that online forum. But then also because socially it's very hard to explain why they play the games. And so for his friends, like, they might not understand why he wants to stay up all night and play the games. But for him, it's because he has self-esteem in that online forum, but then in real life his friends are saying, but why do you do it? And so it's like really polar opposites. So in the game they feel great about themselves because they can build themselves up.
Then in
reality people put them down for playing them.
So no wonder that you then kind of bury yourself in your room, and you're you're basically surrounded by this worldwide network of people who affirm you, because we're all like you, we're all playing this game.
Yes.
But during the day you're with people who are saying, oh, you know, you're a loser, you're spending your life, you know, playing on
this video game.
Your fun little video game.
Yes.
Wow, that's interesting. That's very, very interesting. What else did you, just before we let you go, what else did you find out about the actual game itself that was, you know, particularly eye-opening for you?
For me, it was, I actually spent some time playing the game as part of the study, and I only spent 2 hours playing it, you know, one hour, and then I did a questionnaire and a second hour, and then I did another questionnaire. And the original questionnaire that I did before playing it at all, the results were very different at the end, because even just after a short amount of time of playing the game, only 2 hours, you start to feel more confident, and so you take more risks in the game. But then, like, because you're taking more risks in the game, then, like, you know, you might take more risks in real life, for example. So, it was a very interesting study. So
the things that come into my mind after what we've just heard from you, Ashley, is number one, there may be a self-esteem issue that might be a part of Dan's life, number one. Number two, he might be getting affirmed online and not so much from, you know, other people in the world around him, number two. Number three, if it kind of builds your confidence, I wonder whether that can be leveraged in some way for the rest of his life and his life goals.
Yeah.
We'll find out what Deb Sorensen from Focus on the Family has to say about that. Thanks so much for calling, Ashley.
No worries.
Very, very interesting. 1-300-40-2020 is my number. What do you do if you're in a situation like Carmel's and your 20-year-old son spends all day sleeping, all night playing computer games? Just heard that there might be some very interesting psychological dynamics as part of that. But if you've been there, I'd love to hear. Have you been somebody that also got yourself completely caught up in online gaming? And what did it do for you? What was happening for you as that was kind of a part of your life, or might still be a part of your life? 1-300-40-2020. I'd love to hear your story too. Hi, Effie.
Hi.
Yeah, what's your story? Your son's also struggle with depression?
Yeah, my son's struggling with depression, and I realise that tough love at the moment doesn't really work. But I do, I get every opportunity to speak to him and just be a good listener and really listen and get into the deep thoughts of how he's feeling. And he says a little bit at first, and he opens up a little bit more and a little bit more as more I'm listening. And I just constantly, I constantly remind him how much that we do love him, and that we love him for who he is. And also that, you know, we just love him unconditionally. And also just remind him the great plans that God has for him. Just give him, just affirming him that, you know, this, what you're going through is only for a short time, and you can, you know, positive affirmation all the time, and just lots of prayer and a lot of patience and just listening, just being still and listening to your child, I think is so important.
How old's your son?
He's 22.
22, and so he's living at home, and is he also struggling to get out and actually, you know, get into work?
Yeah, it took him 6 years, and now he's finally realising that, you know, I've wasted my life. You know, I'm 22, I want to get married and have kids, and so now he's gone to college, and now he's slowly, he still goes, he can't get up in the morning, so he made arrangements with college to start the latest subjects, so sort of fitting him in, like he's weaning himself in.
Well, isn't that great? I mean, he's taking steps.
Yeah, and exactly, like just weaning himself into things instead of pushing him into it. But that's what I was doing before, like trying to force him into get up the early morning hours and go to bed, you know, like really early.
Yeah.
But weaning him in was, I found, was ideal, and being a great listener and just loving him.
Yeah, that's fat. Now, he's also been seeing somebody about his depression, has he? Beginning
well,
some counselling, or
no, he hasn't. No, he hasn't been seeing anybody. He wants to try and deal with it on his own. And I've been saying, you know, you do really should speak to somebody, but that will slowly take time. I mean, you know, I'm not. I don't want to really.
Sure.
I want to gain his love first. You
yes.
know, which
yep.
is the hardest thing, I think.
Yep.
Kids to actually open up and speak to the parents. You know.
Yes. Good on you.
And get that trust.
Good on you. Well, it sounds like that's building.
Yeah, exactly. Trusting our relationship and building that relationship again, I think, is more important than rushing him off to doctors and things like that.
Okay, sure. Well, I'm sure that's very helpful for Carmel, even if it's just a little bit of camaraderie. Thanks for your call, Effie.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate that. 1-300-40-2020. I've got no more calls, actually, on this one, and I don't want to wrap it up too soon because I think there's some more to be said. So please give me a call for Carmel as to what you think she could do with her 20-year-old son that's kind of addicted to playing computer games all night, sleeping all day, and not getting a job or doing anything else with his life. What do you do? I mean, is there a role for actually putting hard and fast guidelines in place, taking the computer away? It's not her computer, it's his. Stopping the internet connection, whatever it might be, and facing the consequences. 1-300-40-2020. And while you're calling through, I can't help but think that there's a connection with what we've kind of been talking about tonight, whether it be with Carl and Al earlier on when we were talking about just the Aussie man and identity and significance. Then with some of the other conversations we've had throughout the night, even talking about Dan tonight now, about this issue of self-esteem, when we were talking about the research done behind this particular game, World of Warcraft, and particularly folks with low self-esteem are drawn towards the game. This is where the Christian faith really comes in for me. This is where your whole identity can be given to you as a gift. You can be the greatest business person. You can be the most famous sports star. You can have everything. You can be the richest person in the world. All of that can be gone in an instant. You can lose your business. You can break your leg and no longer be able to play sport. You can lose all your riches in a stock market crash. And the promise of the Christian faith is that you are given a brand new identity, and that identity is to be a child of God, a son or a daughter of God. Nothing can take that away, no matter what happens to you. This is why when you go to third world countries and you see these people that are in desperate poverty, yet they have the faith and they have joy in life, because so there's something that they have that can never be taken away, and that's what builds the rest of their life. Okay. Sermon over, Sheridan. Sermon over. Hi, Damien.
Hey, how you going?
Yeah, good, thanks. Thanks for your call. You play games yourself?
Yeah, mate. Yeah, a fair bit of the time. I come from a pretty rough background.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I know how he feels himself, having a low self-esteem.
Yeah, so would you say that it was because you felt low about yourself that was drew you to the games?
Yeah, and probably having the friendships is different online, so you don't have to face-to-face those people. If you fear a certain fear, like if you're scared or intimidated, you know, you can just switch off, you know, as where it's different when you've got to face-to-face people in relationships. You might be having a hard time there and probably needing some counselling and, help in that area. I'd say that's probably what his problem is. And
so how are you travelling today, mate? Are you still, number one, are you still playing games? And number two,
a lot less.
Right.
I just got married this year,
yeah.
And that's changed a lot.
Yeah.
Before I was single, I'd used to play play a fair bit. And so I've met a lot of new friends with her. And so, my life's changed quite a bit.
Mm.
And now I've worked out, I just spend probably 2 hours on there a night. And so I've a far lot less time. And,
so it's got 2 hours a night. Sounds like a lot to me. So you've cut that down from how much time were you spending?
Oh, I'd probably spend about 70% of the time. Well, I'd be up till about 5 o'clock in the morning.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, so 2 hours is that's a major achievement. You're really heading in the right direction, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And how, if I may ask, how are you feeling about yourself then? I mean,
A lot better. Yeah. Absolutely. I feel great. Getting to know new people. I mean, you're going to have your ups and downs.
Of course.
At times, you know, but you just get back on your feet and roll with it, you know.
Mm.
As long as people understand who you are. I mean, I have a mental illness myself, so I have a bit of a battle where people don't understand you and don't understand maybe your anger sometimes. You know, I have a little of anger problem, but where people will understand you more, they are more patient with you, you know, and more and more of a listening ear instead of just being weary and scared of you.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's great you're heading in the right direction, mate. Really good. You're heading in the right direction. Before I let you go, is faith a part of your life? Is God a part of your life?
Absolutely. He's always been a part of my life, even through my downs. You know, I've never knocked him back. A friend of mine always said to me, you know, you remind me of Job, the life of Job. No matter how much of a hard life you've had, you know, you still love God. And, yeah, I've always followed that.
Okay.
And I'm always appreciated everything I have in life, and that's my number one rule.
Yeah, good stuff. Yeah. All right, mate. Well, that's been helpful to hear your story. Thanks for calling in.
No worries.
All right, so here we are. We're talking about Carmel's situation with a 20-year-old son addicted to computer games. What can she do to help him get on with his life? Paul, hello.
Hi.
Yeah, what's your thoughts for Carmel?
Not so much thoughts, it's more my own personal experience. I spent about 4 months, I started playing an online game, a multiplayer, you know, one of these massively multiplayer online games.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up spending, I was logged into the game for about 18 hours a day.
18 hours?
18 hours a day. I was logged in while I was at work. I was, you know, and I would, you know, click over to it 5 minutes every so often. And I realised, you know, I just could not continue like that.
Mm. But was your work suffering as a result of that? I mean, you certainly were distracted.
No, because it wasn't something that I had to pay attention to all the time. The more attention I paid to it, the better.
Mm-hmm.
And I could only do so much. And after a time, you know, you had to wait for things to happen before you could do more things.
So I take it that you recognised that, you know, something was going wrong here. How did you start to turn it around?
I actually went cold turkey. The funny thing was, about a week before that, I had just spent about, I'd bought credits for the next 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Because I started off playing it free, but, you know, after a bit they give you the opportunity to experience the paid version.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, yeah, so I wanted the paid version because of the extra features that it gave me. And I just bought 3 months worth of credit.
Yep.
About a week or two before, and I thought, well, I really can't continue this, you know, and I don't trust myself in being able to cut back.
Yeah.
So I said, well, the only way I'm going to do this is I'll do it cold turkey.
Cold turkey, yeah.
And I just, gave one of the other guys who was near me access to all my villages.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just thinking about from Dan's mum's perspective, because Dan doesn't want to stop. So what can his mum do? What were people around you doing? Did you have a wife, a girlfriend, you know, any significant others around you that were kind of raising the alarm bells for you?
I did have them around me, but I don't think any of them were aware of how much time I actually spent logged into the game.
Right, yeah. Yeah, okay. So, okay. Well, I'll need to move on. So, one bit of advice for Carmel?
I think, I was wondering where he gets his money from. If he's going out once a week with his mates, it's obviously going to cost him some money. And if she's giving it to him, then she needs to stop giving it to him, and he needs to get a source of, find his own source of money. Yeah, of course, he can do a certain amount on a dole, but, you know.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Okay, we'll raise that with Deb Sorensen from Focus on the Family soon. Hi, Jim.
Hi. I'm just saying, I've been in the same situation myself as well. I've been playing that World of Warcraft game for about...
Same game? Yep.
Yeah, same game.
How long?
About 3 years.
And how many hours a day were you spending it or spending on it?
Probably, if I'm not at uni, it would have been 16 hours, perhaps.
16 hours a day?
Yeah, it is, it's because it's a very addictive game.
But
I did eventually manage to quit, but it wasn't some kind of big miracle event happening. It's just the fact that I got burned out from the game, because it does get very repetitive up to a point, and you just realize it does. There just comes to a point where you realize, what are you doing with your life? You just want to do something else, and so I'm just saying, this could happen to Carmel's son. Hopefully, he might get bored of it one day and quit. One thing I would suggest is not to do anything drastic, such as cutting off the internet connection, because my experience was back then when you were really addicted to it, the game was like my life, and also all of my friends were online. That's basically my social network. If that was to suddenly be cut off out of my life, and if I was also depressed at the time, I would have seriously contemplated some suicide.
Is that right?
Yeah, it would be, because it's like my life. I know it sounds silly now, but it was like my...
No, it's not. It's not, because that's where your social connection is, isn't it?
Yeah. So that's what I would suggest.
Jim, for you today, you've been able to develop then some real-world social connections?
Yeah, I do. I've always had my friends. I just... because I've always had real-life friends. I just haven't catch up with them. I just haven't caught up with them as much while I was playing the game. That's changed a little for the better, but now we're all working, so for another reason we don't catch up as much as we used to. So that's basically, so I'm just hoping that he'll grow out of it. So it's a very difficult situation for Carmel. It's really something, she probably won't like this, but I don't think there's very much that she can actually do other than just to pray and keep praying that one day her son would just be burned out like I did, because a lot of people do get burned out from that game.
Right, okay. Well, the fact that you've called in gives her a lot more ammunition, I think, to understand what's going on in Dan's life. Thanks so much for calling in, Jim.
Okay. So one last thing. Also, when you're online, there's a lot of people that you interact with. So I've also met a lot of people. Some were family, some were fathers, and I can see how difficult it was for them to try to balance their family life with the game. And it just also hit me that... if I want to one day start a family, this game has to go. It's not going to be... I'm going to have arguments with my wife, for example. It's not going to be very conducive to a good marriage. So
that's true.
I guess just once you start having the desire to get on with life, that you'd naturally put that game away.
Okay, you move on to other priorities. Thanks for your call, Jim. Okay, we'll have to move on to Deb Sorensen, family therapist with Focus on the Family now to wrap this up. Deb, some fascinating stuff that's come out of those callers. Absolutely fascinating about, well, the amount of detail about this particular game, World of Warcraft, actually surprised me, and just the way that it gravitates, or people with low self-esteem seem to gravitate towards it.
Yeah, or if they haven't got it when they start, they might by the time that they've got the addiction and they're locked into it. Look, gaming is such a powerful thing. You know, it provides so many rewards for people, you know, on a social level and an emotional level, so that, you know, there are these safe friendships online. And so it fills a real gap for a lot of people. But tragically, it also has a physiological reaction, there's a physiological response when you play the game. So it's not just the social and emotional connection that's happening. There's actually endorphins released and adrenaline released, and it's really hitting straight into the pleasure center of the brain.
Mm.
And it is very addictive. It's kind of like having cocaine, you know. So it's a, it sets up a very addictive pattern that then becomes a physiological addiction. So if you try and, you know, go cold turkey, and like the last caller suggested, don't do it, you know, there are emotional and cognitive and physical impacts for that. So, look, I think Carmel and Dan really need professional intervention, because any addiction is complex. And why I say professional intervention is because you've got the emotional and the cognitive, the behavioural and the physical elements to deal with. Also, too, I think, you know, it would be wise to actually have a psychological assessment done, you know, like have a mental health assessment done. See if there are any underlying conditions too, as or resulting conditions like depression, because we kind of bandy that word around, but it's actually a physiological condition again. And if he does have physiological or clinical depression, then again, he really does need intervention. Well, it's best to have intervention. And look, then there's also, too, once you've dealt with the addiction side of things, he's actually going to need support in looking at the underlying causes. You know, why has he got so hooked on these games? And I think a lot of the callers were talking about that, you know, lack of purpose and meaning in life, and that low self-esteem, you know, maybe the sense of failure. And one of the things that I'd actually jotted down, which is really interesting, given your earlier conversations tonight, is that young men need to be connected with older men, you know, and they need to find their place as a man in the world. And so I wonder where Dad is here, or what other men are in his life, kind of getting him involved in projects and kind of building him up, and just, you know, hanging out with him and spending time with him. You know, that's just so important. And look, and I think for the family to get professional support too. So
is that where they could start? Because I'm just wondering, you know, Carmel's already kind of tried to get him to get some help. I mean, she was able to get him to do the survey online for Beyond Blue. So she might be able to do that. But just say he's really reluctant to that. I mean, should they just simply start first?
Yes, absolutely. Because a good therapist who knows about addiction, so I'd suggest a psychologist, because that's kind of their areas of specialist, you know, specialist in that, you know, in that kind of area. So they can then get strategies on, you know, okay, what can they do about putting some safe boundaries around their son, about helping him actually recognize that he has got an addiction, and that there is hope that he can actually do something about this.
All right. Well, that's very, very helpful. Thank you, Deb.
You're welcome. And, yeah, I'd suggest, look, don't it's important, because he's a young man, he's 20, and the brain is going through a kind of a culling stage and a hardwiring stage. So it really is critical to actually do something now, because otherwise you're going to set up some patterns, for, you know, lifelong patterns. There's that danger. But I wouldn't, because it's so important, I wouldn't rush and pull the cord on anything. I'd get the professional help, and yeah, Carmel will go and talk to somebody who knows about these things.
Good on you. All right.
Okay.
Thanks, Deb. Always good to talk to you. Deb Sorensen, family therapist with Focus on the Family. Our expert on duty tonight for Carmel's probably more of a dilemma than I even realised it was at the beginning of the night, especially after all of your calls. Thanks for your involvement.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.